Here's what I need you to do. Whatever platform you're listening to this show on, go leave a rating and review of the show. Right now, leave a 5-star rating and review the show. Tell people what you think about it. Tell people the value you're getting. You take care of that business. I'm going to get into this episode, and I'll meet you in the middle. Let's do it. People can get the basics anywhere these days for a very low investment, often just an investment of time, not even an investment of money. A low investment of energy. What else do you have to offer besides that?
Stayallday.com.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively. With that aggression, with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
We all know that what we bring to the table in our mental game is just as important, if not more important, than what we bring to the table with our physical game. So what are the biggest mistakes that we all make on a consistent basis in the mental game that blocks us from reaching our success and holds us back from realizing our full potential? I went and created a free 4-part video series where I explain what those 4 biggest mental game mistakes are, why they happen, and how to fix them. Get the free 4-part video series right now at DreAllDay.com/MGM. That stands for Mental Game Mistakes. That's DreAllDay.com/MGM. You're now tuned into the show where you learn the discipline to show up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there, even when the success you expected to achieve has yet to be achieved. And on top of all this, you get a huge dose of personal initiative. This is that go-getter energy that moves you to make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. You know how that feels when you just like, you know what? I'm going to just make this happen. I'm tired of waiting. How about if you could have that energy more often? Maybe all the time? We put all this together. Anyway, and what you get is the mindset, the method, the podcast known as Work On Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day. Welcome to the show. Today's topic is how you can do everything right and still lose and still fail and still come up short and still not have what you want to have, still not be where you want to be, still not be doing what you want to do. I've heard people ask this question, whether it is of me or of the universe or of whoever. They say, you know, I've done all the right things, followed all the right processes. I mimicked every single step that I saw the winning person, the successful person, the person who made it. Everything that they did, I did. But I still don't have the outcome that they had. I still don't have the achievement. I still don't have the accomplishment. I still didn't get to the position. I still didn't get the promotion. I still don't have the success. I'm still not where I want to be. Why is this? How is this happening? What's wrong with me? Listen, today I'm going to tell you. And I told you some other reasons why this could happen to you. I've told you that maybe you just started at something that you weren't as talented as somebody else, but that's not what today's episode is about. Maybe you just haven't been in the game long enough. I've talked about that. That's not what today's episode is about. I'm telling you this from a different angle because there are a lot of reasons why you might not have what you want to have, and I've talked about them. In different episodes, you go to the archive of this podcast at DreAllDay.com/podcast for anything you don't see in the podcast feed. And today I'm going to give you another reason why you could do everything right, have everything in order, have crossed all the T's, dotted all the I's, seemingly have followed the process perfectly, but still not have what you want. Point number one, today's topic again, how you can do everything right and still lose. You are aiming to do the bare minimum, which is a guaranteed losing formula. This is one reason why you could do everything right. You could do everything right, meaning whatever the process is, they say do this first, then this, steps 1 through 17. You could follow them all properly, but if all you do is follow the steps, all you do is follow the rules, all you do is follow the directions, that means you did the bare minimum. And doing the bare minimum these days is a guaranteed losing formula. It might have been a winning formula back in some time before I was born, maybe even before you were born, where that would have worked because there were no other options. Even if you did the bare minimum, nobody could go anywhere other than to you. You were, all roads led to you, no matter how much of a bare minimum you did. Even if you did less than the bare minimum, you still may have won, quote unquote. You still may have been the choice. You still may have been an option. You still may have gotten what you wanted at some point in the past, some point in history. This may have worked anyway because you had a monopoly on the situation. You had a monopoly on people's options. But these days, I mean, unless you're, I don't even know what company has a monopoly on people's options. I don't know what person has a monopoly on people's options. Not too many of them. And not for long, even if you do have one. It's a guaranteed losing formula to do the bare minimum or anything less than the bare minimum. If you're not making mistakes, which I talked about a few episodes ago, if you're not trying to mess up, or you're trying not to mess up is a better way to put it. You're trying to just do the proper steps without going any further, not coloring outside the line, so to speak. If you're not making mistakes, you're probably not making anything else either. Mistakes are part of the game. Mistakes usually happen when we're either A, learning how to do something, or B, we're going a little bit further than what's been considered normal, what's been considered acceptable, what's been considered good enough. Usually we make mistakes when we go past that. Now, we make mistakes in trying it, but then eventually we may hit on something that everybody else eventually starts doing. It eventually becomes accepted as a norm. Now everybody's doing it. If you're not making mistakes and going above and beyond what is normal, then you're probably not going to make anything else. What are you doing, or at least trying to do, that nobody else in your same space is doing or trying to do? If you're an athlete, athletes will say to me, I did everything right at tryouts, but I didn't make the basketball team. Okay. Well, what'd you do at tryouts, or what'd you at least try to do at tryouts that showed that you were above and beyond any of the other players who were in that gym trying out for the team too? Because if you didn't do anything that showed that you were above and beyond anybody else who was trying out, what do I need you for? I mean, now I'm just picking a bunch of average people, mediocre people, and I might have certain biases. I might be a certain type of coach who says, you know what? I'm going to take the younger players so I can possibly develop them. Or I may be a coach who says, I want to compete for a championship this year, so I'm going to take the older players. Or I'm going to take the taller player. I'm going to take the faster one. I'm going to take the one who's in better shape. I'm going to take the one who grabbed more rebounds. Whatever bias that I have based on the type of team that I want, which in any different circumstance, scenario, depending on who that coach is, any one of you who just does the bare minimum, even though you did everything right, can end up on the outside looking in and you didn't do anything wrong. This is how it can happen. If you don't do anything that makes you unique, if you don't do anything that forces me to remember you, and we could be talking about sports, we can talk about dating, we can talk about businesses. If I can't remember you based on anything that you did, then I wouldn't be considering you as an option because I won't remember you. How can I consider you an option if I don't even remember that you exist? In episode number 309, not of my podcast, but of a podcast by a man by the name of Tim Ferriss called The Tim Ferriss Podcast, very popular show. He did what he calls an in-between episode, because Tim's podcast is almost always interviews, or sometimes he'll get on the phone and talk to some fans who have questions for him and do a Q&A. Most of the time it's long form interviews, like a couple hours long interviews. But in this one episode, he played the audio of a guy giving a presentation. This episode is about 20 minutes long total, by this guy by the name of Astro Teller. And I forget who Astro Teller works for, but he's a pretty well-known speaker on the speaker circuit when it comes to businesses and startups and things like that. And one thing that Astro is known for talking about, one idea that he's a champion of, is what they call moonshot thinking. And the basic premise of what Astro is talking about, and I want you to go listen to this episode, is the reason why I'm referring it to you, not so you just take the synopsis from me, but go hear him say it himself, is if you try to solve a problem that is the same problem that everybody else is trying to solve, that means you're in a resource contest with every other company out there, or every other startup out there, or we're talking sports, every other athlete out there. We're talking dating with every other guy or girl out there. If you're trying to just be better than everyone else at solving the same problem, that's your problem. Because now you're in a resource contest. So if someone has more help than you, they got more people on their staff, or they have more money, or they have more time, or they have more energy, or they're just smarter than you, or they've just been in the game longer than you, then you're not going to win. And again, you're going up against an infinite number of competitors. You probably will not win a resource competition against the world. All right, you against the field. That's what they call that, the field. Either you or somebody other than you is going to win. I'm taking the field against you. All right, in a competition of money, of people, of energy, of time, of expertise, of intelligence, I'm taking the world in a bet. If I got to bet against either on you or I'm betting on the world, I'm putting my money on the world. I'm betting that somebody in the world is smarter than you, has been in the game longer than you, has more energy than you, has more time than you, has more people that can help them than you have. That's the competition that you get in when all you're doing is the bare minimum. What Astro Teller talked about in this presentation, again, is if you're trying to compete against everyone else, trying to solve the exact same problem, you're in a race, you probably won't win. But what Astro proposes that people do, and this is something that everybody already kind of knows, and he says this in his talk, is that try to solve a problem that's 10 times or 100 times bigger than what anybody else is trying to solve. Number one, you have no competition. Now, number two, if you win, if you were to do the probability mathematics on this, you have a higher rate of return on trying to solve a 10 times bigger problem than you do, even if you are the fastest and smartest and strongest, trying to solve that 10% problem rather than 100% problem. Or we'll call it the 1,000% problem, is the moonshot thought, versus the 100% problem. Because even if you solve it, all you get is 100%. But if you solve the 10,000% problem, I mean, the returns are 1,000 times more. Not 10 times more, but 1,000 times more. And again, that's Tim Ferriss podcast, episode number 309. The speaker, man by the name of Astro Teller. And you can look him up on YouTube. He has some speeches on there too. I think he's given this presentation more than once. So you may find this presentation on YouTube if you don't see it. Well, it's on Tim's podcast. There's no way you can't see it if you look for it. But this point that I'm making here, we're still on point number one, how you can do everything right and lose. If you're aiming to do the bare minimum, if you're aiming to solve the same problem that everybody else is trying to solve, you're in a resources competition, which you probably will never win. Point number two. Today's topic is how you can do everything right and still lose. And as I just said, I stepped on this point and what I just said in point number one. If you are in a skill competition with everybody, if you're in a who's better competition with everybody out there, you will probably come up short, probably way short. If you're in a who's better competition in terms of whatever it is you do, playing basketball, selling products, running a business, running a local deli, making sandwiches, if you're in a who's better competition, you probably won't win. There are too many people also trying to win that competition. The odds are just against you. There are too many odds. They're way too high, stacked way too high against you, and there's just too much competition. How do you separate yourself then? How do the people who stand out actually stand out? And see, this is the thing. In life, often when someone is standing out, when someone is really above and beyond what everybody else is doing, usually you get your motivators, your speakers, your inspirers, your analysts. They come out and they tell you how this person got to be so good, right? They tell you this person, if an athlete's doing really well, usually you get your favorite trainers or players or skills coaches. They get on social media and they post a video of this person practicing or some picture of them hanging with the guy or something about them, and they start espousing how this person works so hard and how they get up so early and how they stay so late and how they put up 100 times more shots than anybody else. They tell you how this person just outworked everybody else. They just outworked everybody, and that's the reason why they became successful. And if you do the same thing, you can be successful too. See, that's bullshit. That's not really the way it worked. If that was really the way that it worked, then we wouldn't have a need for motivators and inspirers or skills coaches. Everybody just keep working until you can't work anymore and you'll be the best. Like, what we need a coach for? I don't need a coach to tell me that. I can read that in a book. What do I need you for? I'm going to hire you to come give a speech to tell me that? See, that's not the reason why people win. If you're in a skill or who's better competition, there can only be one winner. There's too much competition out there. You separate yourself by identifying who you're for. Whatever it is you're doing or presenting or offering, whether you're selling it or you're giving it away for free, whatever it is that you're putting out there, who is it for? And then go above and beyond for that audience, whoever that audience happens to be. People can get the basics anywhere these days for a very low investment, often just an investment of time, not even an investment of money, a low investment of energy. What else do you have to offer besides that? What else do you have to offer besides the fact that you're going to do everything that the coach says and you follow all the procedures and you showed up to all the workouts? Well, so what? 30 other kids did all those things too. What makes you different? If you can't answer that question, then don't come to the comment section of a YouTube video sounding stupid like you have no idea why you didn't make the team. You didn't do anything. Of course you didn't make the team. Who are you? Nobody even remembers you was there. All you did was the same thing everybody else did. If all you're doing is the bare minimum, you're in a skill competition. You're in a who's better competition. And the larger the pool gets, the less chances you're going to win. In middle school, you got an okay chance. In high school, that chance is smaller. In college, it's much smaller. Out of college, you might not even think about even getting in the game. That's how big that pool is. Like, you can't even stay above water in that pool with so many people in there. You separate yourself by identifying, who is this for? Who is it that I need to feel favorably about me and make a decision about me? Whether that's a choosing decision, a purchasing decision, a filling the blank, whatever decision you need someone to make, whether that's a customer of yours, a boss of yours, a coach, a supervisor, a significant other, whoever it is you need to make a decision about you, who is that person? First of all, you got to identify them. Then you got to go above and beyond for whoever that audience is. Because the basics we can get wherever. Right, we got too many choices for that. What else do you have to offer besides that? If you cannot answer that question, then that's the answer to the question of today's episode, which is how you can do everything right and still lose. You hear me talk about the mental game tools, discipline, confidence, mental toughness, and personal initiative every single episode of this podcast. But what's the actual roadmap to developing these tools and actually applying them to your life in a systematic way that they stick and they become real for you? Not just something that you heard, not just something that hypes you up, but something that becomes part of who you are? What's the roadmap to actually doing that? I created that blueprint, and it's my flagship course called Bulletproof Mindset. Bulletproof Mindset covers those four tenets of the mental game: discipline, confidence, mental toughness, and personal initiative. And not only how they apply to you, but how you're going to apply them in your life and your interactions with other people, and how to deal with the assaults on your mental game, the attacks on your mental game that come from the outside, of course, and the most insidious attacks on your mental game, the ones that come from within. Go to DreAllDay.com/bulletproof to get more information, full details, and get started on the Bulletproof Mindset course. That's at DreAllDay.com/bulletproof for the Bulletproof Mindset course. Now let's get back to the program. Let's move on to point number three. I'll tell you a story. The day that I'm actually recording this, I went to get a sandwich from a local shop. I'm not going to say the name of the shop because I'm not here to bash them, but I could if I wanted to. I'm not going to bash them. It wasn't anything messed up about my experience. That's the crazy part. But I'm going to tell you the story anyway because there's a point to this. The service that they gave me was pretty average. I mean, it was, if there had been a camera following me into the shop and saw the exchange that I had and getting my food and paying for it and walking out, you would not have even remembered it. 30 minutes later, you would have forgot that you even saw what you saw because it was very nondescript. There was nothing exceptional about the experience in a positive or a negative way. But I'm not going back to that sandwich shop. I'm not mad at them. They didn't do anything wrong. I'm not going to leave them a bad Google review or Yelp review or wherever else you can leave a review. I have no complaints. If I met the owner, I wouldn't complain to him and say, hey, let me tell you how. No, nothing happened. The reason why I'm not going back to that sandwich shop is because they were average. And the reason why I don't have to go back to a sandwich shop in 2019 and beyond is because I have too many options for sandwiches to settle for average. I don't need to deal with an average company anymore. You know why? Because if I want a sandwich right now, while I'm recording, there's no sandwich shop in the building that I'm in right now. I think I got like four different apps. I got Grubhub. I got, what is it, Uber Eats. You got DoorDash. You got Postmates. And there's probably like three others that I don't even know. I only have on my phone. I got all these different apps that got sandwich shops. I could order a sandwich from damn near anywhere in the city of Miami right now and get it delivered to me within the next 60 minutes. Why do I need to settle for average? Why do you need to settle for average? Why does anyone who you want to choose you need to settle for your averageness? It's a rhetorical question because they don't. We all these days have too many options to settle for anything that is just giving us the bare minimum. This is where back in the day, back before, definitely before the internet was the internet, before social media was social media, before information became this flat space where anybody could access anything. Information used to be hierarchical. I think I'm pronouncing that right. I got to work on my pronunciation of that word. It used to be a hierarchy of information. Let's make it easy for me. If you weren't on a certain level, there was certain information you could not access unless you knew the right person or paid the right amount of money. Nowadays, anybody can get any amount of information as long as you have a data plan or Wi-Fi access from somewhere. You get any information you want. You can access basically anything you want to access. So we don't have to settle for average anymore. We used to have to settle for average because we didn't know about the other options. And even if we knew about them, it was hard for us to access it. It was a lot of friction involved in accessing those other options. Before StubHub and what is it? DoorDash, Grubhub, not StubHub, but StubHub for tickets to sporting games, DoorDash and Uber Eats. Before all these apps existed, if I wanted a sandwich and there was only one sandwich shop within walking distance of where I lived, or even within 15 minutes driving of where I lived, I would probably settle for their average service and their average food because I didn't want to go through the pain of driving 30 minutes there and 30 minutes back to get a better sandwich. But nowadays, all I got to do is press a few buttons on my app. And all I got to do is wait a little bit longer. I can get a better sandwich. I don't have to go to the sandwich shop across the street. And the sandwich shop across the street eventually would go out of business unless they have an audience that's different from me that they find out they can serve the right way so they can stay in business. And I'm using the sandwich shop as an example, but this applies to anything. All of you business professionals out there, and actually everybody listening to this, is or will one day be a business professional, whether you're working at a job for a company, whether you're running your own business, whether you're freelancing, whether you want to become a social media influencer. You have an audience out there. And if all you're giving them is the bare minimum, you will lose that audience, whether they're paying you or not. We have too many options for free level all the way up to high ticket, as they call it, to settle for anything that's average. This sandwich shop, again, this is the problem. They didn't do anything wrong. They didn't do anything wrong. There's nothing I can say about my experience. There was nothing wrong with the sandwich. They made it exactly as I said. Everything that I ordered was in there. All the ingredients were fresh. Nobody was rude to me. There was nothing that happened there that I would say they did wrong, but they didn't do anything better than bare minimum either. And that's why I'm not going back. I guarantee you, if I order from every sandwich shop in the city, I'm going to find someone that goes above and beyond. And that's going to become my sandwich shop. And I don't care how long it, I'll wait an extra 5-10 minutes to get it from DoorDash to deliver it to me. Or I'll go over there and get it myself. In episode number 962, I told you are not here to be average. And I told you the reasons why. In episode number 352, I told you that nobody pays for mediocre. Mediocre does not pay, ladies and gentlemen. If you thought it did or it has been paying for you, I'm telling you now, it eventually will stop paying. So if mediocre is paying for you right now, here's my advice to you. Be disciplined enough and wise enough to understand that that's not going to keep going. That's not going to last. So you better make some adjustments while you can. They say that these days, any of you who works in the internet space, whether you make sales pages, you run advertising, you're an online entrepreneur, you're an influencer, you use social media a lot. They say that these days, consumers have very short attention spans. And I think everybody agrees with that. One reason why people have short attention spans is a very practical one, is because there's always another option. See, back in the 90s, those of you who are alive in the 90s, before we all had smartphones in our pockets, we wanted to see a show, we had to watch TV. Now, these days, I don't even own a television, but back then, we had to watch TV. We had 4 or 5 TVs in the house growing up. If you wanted to see a certain show, it came on Thursday at 8 o'clock, and if you missed it, then you had to wait till the next Thursday, and that episode that you missed, you just missed it. It wasn't coming on again. And so the show went off the air, and then they start showing reruns, and you had to hope to catch it. That's the way it worked back then. So if the show came on Friday at 8 o'clock, even if we didn't really like the show, we didn't have too many other options to entertain ourselves. There were a few other options. I mean, you could go outside. You could watch a VHS tape or DVDs eventually. If you had a computer, you could get on one. Most of us didn't have one. I mean, you could play with something or with someone not looking at the TV. We didn't have that many options. These days, listen, you can get anything you want damn near anytime you want it. Any of you who's under the age of 25 know what time a certain show comes on every week? Maybe if you watch certain shows that happen to catch everybody's attention, like a Game of Thrones or something like that. But other than that, even that, we got so many options these days. We don't have to wait for anything. We don't have to settle for mediocre anything. There is always another option for us. And you as a consumer, you know this. So you, the business person on the other side of this equation, you need to understand this. Your consumers always have another option. Even if you think you're the only option, another option is going to pop up. Because if they see you're doing good, are they going to come in and compete with you? All they got to do is be better than you. And you out of business. It's over that fast. The life that we live now, ladies and gentlemen, we can always swipe to the left. You know, I was thinking of the app Tinder, which, no, I'm in a relationship. I don't use that app anymore. I thought it was swipe right, but then I had to Google, is it swipe right or swipe left? It's swipe left if you don't like it. Swipe right if you like it. So we can always swipe to the left, which means next. All right? There's another place out there that sells or talks about or offers something similar to what you sell or talk about or offer, and all you're offering is the bare minimum. You can't thrive by just being okay. Even if you keep some of your people, all you're going to have is a whole bunch of competition and people doing the same thing as you. Then you become a commodity. Now, oh, I can get what you're offering at 20 different places. Why do I need to get it from you? You can't answer the question. The sandwich shop that I went to, listen, if I named that shop and they heard this episode, they would say, yo, Dre, we didn't do anything wrong. I don't understand why you're bringing our name up in your episode about not being mediocre, about how you can do everything right and still lose. And they would be absolutely right. They would be correct that they didn't do anything wrong. And that's exactly the problem. I'm going to give you a little hint. Any of you who has either made this mistake in the past or were thinking about making it in the future, if you ever find yourself defending your actions by saying, I didn't do anything wrong, I'm 95% sure that you're average. Or at least what you did was average. What you delivered was average. And 95% is being generous, probably closer to 99.7%. You're mediocre if you're saying that. Would Stephen Curry ever defend his performance in a game by saying, hey, I don't know why you reporters are asking me what happened in the game. I didn't do anything wrong. Would he say that? I don't think so. Well, Kanye West, who's renowned for being a great live performer, would he ever say after one of his shows, hey, nobody can be mad about the show that I performed tonight because I didn't do anything wrong? I don't think that phrase is even his vocabulary. Would Apple, the company, defend their newest iPhone by saying, hey, everybody, y'all can't be mad about the iPhone. There's nothing wrong with it. Of course not. They're going to tell you what's great about it. And I think Kanye would do the same. I don't know if Steph Curry is wired that way, but he damn sure is not saying I didn't do anything wrong. You have to make it obvious what's great about you or it, whatever you're delivering, because your prospects or your customers, they're probably not going to ask you, hey, what's great about your pizza? You know, I'm thinking about ordering a pizza. What's great about your pizza, Joe's Pizza, around the corner? I'm not going to ask you that. I'm going to try your pizza. And if it's just okay, I'm not ordering Joe's Pizza anymore. Unless you happen to be the only option. Unless you're 24 hours, it's 3 a.m. and everybody else is closed, then I might order something from you because I ain't got a choice. But other than that, listen, I'm going to weigh my options. I didn't try this pizza place yet. Oh, here, I'm on DoorDash. Oh, it's 30 pizza places I never tried before. Let me try each one so I find one that I like. One that goes above and beyond. You have to make it obvious that whatever it is that you're offering, whether you're offering a whole line of products and services, whether you're offering a service such as consulting or training or speaking, or you're just offering yourself as a person. When you try to get a job, you're offering yourself. When you go on a date, you are offering yourself. When you play a sport, you are offering yourself. When you go out to make friends, when you go to a networking event, when you go to a meetup, when you're walking the street, when you get in the elevator with another person who you never met, you are offering yourself. If you can't make it obvious what's great about you, most people are not going to ask you, hey, what's great about you? Hey, I'm trying to make some friends in the neighborhood. What's unique about you that I should remember you and make you a friend? Nobody's going to ask you that. They just need to be able to tell. And if they can't tell, they're going to swipe to the left next. Let's recap today's topic, which is how you can do everything right and still lose. And people ask this question. Sometimes they just speak it out into the world. They're not asking anyone specifically. I did all the right things, followed all the right processes, did everything step by step exactly as somebody else did it, and I'm still not where I want to be. Why is that? How is that? What's wrong with me? I'm telling you today, point number one, you are aiming to do the bare minimum. Doing the bare minimum is a guaranteed losing formula in all of life. If you are not making mistakes, which happen when you try to do something above and beyond, if you're trying to not mess up, that means you're probably not making anything other than, you're not making anything, rather. You're not making mistakes, you're not making anything. What are you doing or trying that nobody else is trying? What makes you unique? If I can't remember you through your uniqueness, then I can't consider you as an option because you're not even on my mind. Again, refer to Tim Ferriss, episode number 309. He has a clip of an audio from a speaker by the name of Astro Teller. Look him up. Point number two. If you are in a skill or who's better competition with the world, you are probably going to lose. There are too many people. There's too much competition. The odds are stacked way too high against you. How you separate yourself is by identifying who you're for, whatever you're offering, and going above and beyond for that audience. Doesn't have to be for everybody, but for the people that you're for, you got to go above and beyond for them so they buy in. People can get the basics anywhere these days for a very low investment. What else do you have to offer besides the basics? Because the basics can't be sold anymore. Point number three. I told you I went to a sandwich shop today. I got average service and I'm not going back to that place. I'm not mad at them. I have no complaints about them. It's just that they were average. And I got too many options to get sandwiches to go to an average place again. This is the problem. You didn't do anything wrong. The problem that when people say, I didn't do anything wrong, what's the problem? That's the problem. You didn't do anything wrong. Episode 962, you are not here to be average. Episode number 352, nobody pays for mediocre. They say that people have short attention spans these days, and they're right. And one reason why is because we always have another option. We don't have to watch TV on Friday at 8 o'clock to see our favorite show. We could tune into it whenever we want because we got the shows on demand these days. We can always swipe to the left and get to whatever is next and see what the next option is and the next one after that and the next one after that. There's another place or person offering the same thing that you're offering. You cannot thrive by being merely okay. This sandwich shop that I mentioned, if I said their name and they heard this, they would say, Dre, we didn't do anything wrong. What did we do wrong? And I would say, you didn't do anything wrong. That's the problem. If you're ever defending yourself by saying, I didn't do anything wrong, you are average. Steph Curry would never defend a game that his team lost by saying, well, hey, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't know why y'all got these microphones in my face. Kanye wouldn't say, I'm sorry, everybody. I didn't do anything wrong in my show. He wouldn't say that. Apple wouldn't say, y'all can't trash the new iPhone because there's nothing wrong with it. They wouldn't say that. They convey what makes their product or their service or themselves or their brand, what makes it great. They're going to tell you over and over and over again until you agree. You need to make it obvious, whether you're going to say it or whether you need to show it in your actions and your energy. You need to make it obvious what's great about you, what makes you stand out, because your prospects and consumers, they're not going to explicitly ask you. This is going to look. And if they can't tell, they're swiping left. Work on your game. DreAllDay.com. Discipline. Your decision to show up day after day to do the work and get the job done. That's the hallmark of being a professional. What if you're not quite a professional because you haven't mastered this skill of showing up every single day yet? What if you're being paid like a professional, but you haven't been quite delivering like a professional, and you want to sharpen that up. You want to tighten your game up when it comes to discipline. I created a roadmap for you to develop your discipline that's only going to take you 30 days to get there. It's called 30 Days to Discipline, and it is, of course, a 30-day course that takes you step by step through discipline. Why it matters, why most of us run away from it, shy away from it, and don't apply it even when we know exactly what it is, and how to fix those problems and start applying discipline in your life on a consistent basis so that you're showing up every single time, doing the job every time, performing every time, and producing results every time. That's when you become a professional. Get full details and get started on the course at dreallday.com/30. That's the number 30 for 30 days to discipline. That's dreallday.com/30 for 30 days to discipline. Anything you start, you have to finish. Winners never quit and quitters never win. Anything you begin, you have to see it all the way through to the end. You've been taught this your entire life. I was taught it my whole life. But you know what? I disagree with these principles. There are times in life when it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense to quit, to walk away. I created a free guide that you can download right now that tells you when is it time to quit in life. And yes, there is a time to quit. Get the free PDF guide right now at dreallday.com/quit. That's dreallday.com/quit for the free PDF guide. When is it time to quit? And yes, there is a time. That's at dreallday.com/quit. You just listened to an entire episode of my podcast. If you've been getting value from this podcast, the 1,000+ episodes that I've been putting out, or this is just your first one, please go to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a review of my show. It helps me out. It helps the audience out so they know what kind of show this is before they listen to it, if they want to kind of get a taste for it before they commit to listening. And it lets me know that I'm giving value to you every single day on this podcast. So anywhere you can leave a review, please go leave a review. Thank you. I appreciate it a lot. I'll see you in tomorrow's episode. Work on your game.